All right, now I'm going to start the show. 1070.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Yeah, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Bingo! Showtime!
My fly is open.
Rich, can you just go suck it?
Were you making egg foo young in the kitchen? I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing, Tech Show. And that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a link it bad. For the show notes, go direct to DLNGS.org. And ICChallengeAnalytics.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1070 of the Linksling Tech Show. On the show tonight, we had Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
Is Murph still there?
Murph is still here.
All right. So, I don't think I mentioned this last week or the week before. I don't know. I don't think I mentioned this at all, but I got saddled with this job at work. Legally, we have to delete images out of our store, out of our system belonging to specific photographers because we no longer have the rights for them. And so they have to be removed by the 14th. So I've been given a list of names. So it's about 20 names, photographer names, that have to be removed. All their images have to be removed from our system. But the problem is that they're not tagged consistently. So their name could be in any number of fields. For instance, like byline or credit or caption. And then even in those locations, it's not just like an easy attribution that you could pull out that that's clearly identifiable. Their name could be, in mixed case. Their name could be in all capital letters. Their name could be, in the caption with the phrase credited to, or like be like their name slash and like AP for Associated Press photos or press wire, or it's just an insane collect like possibility. So there's no easy way to reliably filter on this stuff. And we're talking tens of thousands of images mixed in with thousands of other images, you know, like tens of thousands of other images, where it could be a very common name like Jim Brown, for instance. And so you're not just contending with maybe a photographer named Jim Brown, but there's also a football player named Jim Brown. There is the iconic rock and roll singer James Brown, who could also be referenced as Jim Brown, and anybody else in the world, because Jim Brown is not an uncommon name. So it's been a challenge to try and pull these names out and identify them. And so basically what I did, because this has to be done by like October 14th, so I don't have a whole lot of time, and it takes a while to remove these from the system. So if I run something that's going to delete like 12,000 images, it's going to take the better part of a day to do it, because it has to pull that information from the system, delete it, and then go out and delete it off of the CDN storage or off of our storage, and that could be in like three different locations. So it's not a fast thing, and we have to be careful not to overload the system, because that's the same system everybody else is working from. So we can't essentially DDoS ourselves trying to do this. So it's been basically looking at patterns, and I wrote a script that I can just pass into it the file, what I want it to be called on the output, and then, you know, what field I want to check, because it's a JSON object that has been returned to us from pulling out of the system, and then in that field what I'm looking for. And so it could be like the person's name, or it could be the person's name with like a common identifier that is associated with them. And so I have to keep doing that. And then once I do, like, that script would output it into two different files. One is a delete file, which I'm fairly confident has all the right objects in it. And then the other one is a check file, which is like all the things that were missed. So then I can go into that check file, and then I can look for maybe another pattern, and then I can repeat the process over and over again till I get down to the point where there's not like a consistent identifiable additional pattern that I can pull out of. And then hopefully we're down to maybe like a few dozen, under 100, which I can then look through quickly, looking for that name to see, like, using standard text tools like grep and all that, and go in there and see, okay, is there any other pattern that I need to look for, or is this just a one-off? There's a lot of one-offs, right? And so there's like four different fields to search through that it can be on. Anyway, somebody brought up, you know, this would be a good thing to use AI for, to which I was like, well, maybe, but I don't think AI is going to really... Oh, hey, how you doing, Joel? I don't think AI is going to reduce the amount of time it's going to take. And that's because I'm still going to have to verify the results, that the output that AI has done. So I still have to go through like all the files that AI may create, because I've been burned by AI before, right? So the whole thing is like, we want to differentiate this image, which is copyright credited to this photographer, from, say, there being that same person's name in the caption, and they're a lawyer or an athlete or an actor or a musician or just some guy on the street who's in some article, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's not... If things were consistent, like if it was a consistent attribution system where we would say, this is what you do, this photo, this is the photographer who took it. If there was an identifiable field to put that in there, the thing is, nobody's done it consistently, and so it creates a huge mess.
I'd be curious to know what they think AI is going to do with that. Or is it just AI is magic, so it makes everything better?
Well, I guess if you use the right AI tools, you can kind of like say, I'm looking for images attributed to the photographer with this name, and it would kind of match patterns like I did, and then say, here's all these objects that it thinks are the photographer's name. So kind of like what I'm doing, but a billion times faster, you know,
and much worse.
Well, I don't know. That's the thing. It maybe it would be spot on, but I've been burned before by AI. So it's like, I still have to go through and check them all. So am I really going to be saving any time if I find the right AI tool, learn how to use it, process these files and still have to manually check everything afterwards? You know, am I saving that much time when I just,
right.
You know, it takes me, like, when I got it down with the tools that I've been using, I get a list. It takes me like a half hour. If I'm looking at, like, you know, 20,000, 30,000 images, I can, if there's like a good pattern, it might take me less than a half an hour to reliably get down to one file that has all the matches that I don't think are applicable, and then I can just send that off to somebody else and they can double check. Because I've been through it and I'm like, none of this stuff all looks like somebody else. It's like it's not the photographer, it's just somebody else with the same name in there somewhere. Anyway. But yeah, it's been a sweet challenge. Mm-hmm. And what makes it annoying is that when I have to actually run the deletion and it processes all those files, like I have all those files and it just reads the file in and then goes through all the objects in there and deletes those. We're talking like hours to do, and I can't control the power settings on my laptop. It's company controlled, right? So I have to pull up a 6 to 8 hour YouTube video to play, especially like overnight, so the system doesn't go to sleep on me and shut down the network and then stop it from running because I can't adjust the power settings due to our corporate restrictions. So it's kind of a pain in the butt having to like get around that. And sometimes even playing the video isn't enough. Like it'll just knock something out and the script will just stop running and it'll just hang there. Because the network kind of like goes down or whatever. I don't know. It's a pain in the ass. But I finished it this afternoon. Did the last one. So there we are. It took me 4 days to go through them and delete them. So I'm kind of happy. It wasn't too bad. Now I get back to my other stuff, but I got to turn the files over to somebody so that they can look through and see if there's anything I missed. I don't think there is, but hey.
Yep.
Again, we're talking like over 100,000 images, so. Oh, maybe not that many. Maybe
40, sounds like 50, a nightmare.
It's, and there's more coming, too. You know, there's more coming all the time, and. Yeah, so it's once you get it down, it's not too bad. It's just building those initial tools to do it. Good times. All I did it all in Bash tool, like standard text manipulation tools, Bash scripting and Node or JavaScript. Just, I don't know, working with JSON objects in Bash is kind of a pain in the ass. It's a little bit easier on JavaScript or even Python would have been easier, but the main tool that I'm using that does like a lot of deletion is written in JavaScript, so I just kept going with the, you know, writing what I needed to get done specifically in JavaScript. And it ran good. Fast. She's a lot faster than me going through the shit.
Copy there. It ain't ringing.
What's that?
Yeah.
You cut out.
That's good. I'm talking. No, it's a ringing good.
Is Joel?
I can't hear anything you're saying, Joel.
Yeah, Joel, you're robot. Mm-hmm.
Joel, can you click on all the pictures of stoplights?
Right. I hate
pause,
those
pause
things,
your
man.
Torrenting. That porn will still be there later.
Did he disappear? Joel?
He's gone. He picked porn instead.
That's it. He's got the a internet USB is powered for porn. CPAP machine plugged into the side of his system, and that's what's bringing it down, right?
Mm-hmm. It would be interesting, a 5-volt CPAP machine. Oh, now I left.
That would suck the hell out of your battery, wouldn't it?
Probably. Well, at 5 volts.
Well, you can't run a CPAP machine on 5 volts, can you?
Not that I'm aware. That's why I said it would be cool if you could.
Maybe a very small one.
Oh, like that nasal one that they tried to say was an actual thing forever ago?
No, I'm just making stuff up.
Well, for a while they were trying to sell a small, very small CPAP machine that just went over your nose.
Which was bullshit.
It was bullshit.
Because if it was real, I'd have one.
Right? If it was real, I'd probably have like 4 or 5.
Right.
Because I'd be constantly losing one.
Because they're dirt cheap. Which tells you they're not real. Anywho. Dave's safe, by the way. I don't know if you guys heard that or not.
No, we can't really hear you anymore either.
Mm-hmm.
He's been out of power since
Helene out of power through. And water.
Oh yeah, water too. Wait, they had to shut the water off?
Well, there's critical damage to a lot of the infrastructure there, power to run the pumps and all that stuff. You don't have power, you can't run the water pumps, though. But getting from Tennessee to North Carolina is impossible on I-40 now. I-40 is going to be closed. They're saying till like March next year. That's how long it's going to take them to rebuild it. Some areas I saw as long as September. Like a year. So think, you don't need to try and get into Western North Carolina to help people. Just put your money somewhere where it can do some good if you want to donate and help people. Yeah, Clip Bassinger, who is Lee's Game Reviews, his house got pretty much demolished. So that storm was a bad deal.
Yeah, that stinks.
Climate change isn't a thing.
Hurricanes happen. They've happened before. So they're not necessarily any worse now. We didn't dodge the bullet this time. Ned, hurricane experts will be the first to tell you you can't necessarily blame climate change on these.
Well, climate change is obviously a thing. What you're arguing against is man-made climate change. Because, we're not still in the middle of an ice age.
Mm-hmm.
So climate change is a thing. You can't deny that.
Now just wait a minute, it'll change again. So
where is Route 40?
I-40 goes from Tennessee, through Tennessee, and that's actually how I would get, actually probably how you would get to Ohio for the Ohio Next Fest.
It's not in Clemson.
No, I-26, which is the other main interstate, leaves out of Asheville.
So we're looking at Asheville. Okay, I-40. Is it on the west side of Asheville or east side that is?
West side.
Oh.
Yeah, it's between the Tennessee and North Carolina line. Man, who's playing the boomer, man? Oof. It must be Joe in a garage.
Yeah, is there noise?
Yeah, you get a lot of feedback, and it's like
somebody drove by.
Yeah,
we heard that.
Getting all my background noise.
Serious bass in that.
Yep,
it's all about the bass.
Let me switch headsets. There you go. My brother and my dad are safe. They you know, they got a lot of rain from it, but they didn't get what like Asheville and the border got. It's a long way to get to Charlotte for me now. Whew.
Man, that's crazy, man. The damage, the flooding, looking at the videos of that. Woo! That is some rough water.
You just had a lot of rain, though. We're in Virginia, right?
You know what? I wouldn't even say it was a lot of rain. The storm, the couple of, like, torrential downpours came whipping through here. It wasn't out of the ordinary, I would say. I mean, so thankfully, like, it wasn't out of the ordinary. It didn't cause significant damage or anything. It was just rain.
Yes. Hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yep.
Better?
Yep.
Awesome.
Saturday, Sunday, I had a good workout on the treadmill. I did approximately 5K.
I had a good workout yesterday, and I'm working on my workout today. But
there you go.
Leg extensions for sets of 13 with 250 pounds, they hurt the next day.
Yes, they do. I can't do that much on leg extensions, but I am doing about 225 on a leg press.
Well, it's not just that I was doing 250. That's not too bad. But I would do 250 for 13, and then I would drop it 35 pounds and do it for 10, and drop it 35 pounds and do it for 10, and then drop 45 pounds and 10, and 45 pounds and 10, and then I would do single legs.
Mm.
So, yeah, my legs don't like me.
No.
Which and, is why it's chest day.
Across the, I'm at 261 of it as of this morning, and that's 119 pounds down.
Awesome.
Keep heading.
Good deal.
Finally broken, plateau and heading in the right direction.
What'd your doctor say about the implant?
I talked about that. No.
Well, okay, so it's still a no. I thought you were working on that.
No, I already had that appointment. I won't find that out. I won't find an answer till the end of October. Now, I did get a strange thing in the mail today from, like, I got this thing. It's from like Evicare, which is a healthcare company. I'm like, whoa, who the heck is this from? Winds up that's who Aetna forwarded my. We're not changing, as far as I know, we're not changing health insurance companies at work. But this other company, they said, oh, yeah, you can get your sleep study. I'm like, well, why are you telling me this? Why isn't Aetna telling me that? Anywho, because I got that scheduled for next Thursday. It's a split study, so they're going to do it without the mask and then with the mask. At least then, by the end of the month, I'll have my CPAP tuned so I'm not belching big old gas bubbles in the middle of the night.
It sounds like your pressure's too high.
Oh, it definitely is. It definitely is. About once or twice a week, I wake up in the middle of the night, gas bubble in my gut, rip my mask off, and sit up on the side of the bed and let a big old horrendous belch, and then go back to sleep.
Lower your pressure.
Well, I can. I can probably figure out how, but I'll listen to the doctor. So I got my five. The actual race is November 17th, the day after the Ohio Linux Fest. So I actually have to go down and pick up my race packet down in the same area as the Linux Fest. So I'll probably be there for a little bit of it. Just depends what else we got going on.
Found out this year's Texas Linux Fest was once again in Austin and in April.
Yeah, that's a weird month to have it.
Wait, I didn't even look until the second half of the year.
It's like, and for people like you who still have kids in school.
Well, if it was in Dallas, I wouldn't care.
But how far away is Austin from you? Is it about 2 hours? 4 hours? 6 hours?
Right. Depends on whether or not I have to go through downtown Dallas. It's a variable. Well, 4 hours? Could be 12.
Just go around Dallas then, right? How long does it take to get around Dallas? Is that like an hour and a half, 2 hours?
I haven't tried. I mean, I've gone to Arlington, but I usually go through Dallas to get there. And if you're going to go around Dallas, then you kind of got to go around Fort Worth, too. Take some time.
Yeah, getting anywhere and where you live, Joe, is not a fast thing.
And public transportation is shit. Basically,
if you have it at all. I always think they put it in the weirdest of places.
What? Public transportation? Or
Yeah.
Dallas.
Hey, do you guys use KDE Connect?
No.
I've used it in the past, but I don't use it currently.
Using KDE right now, but
I toyed with it a little bit, but never really seriously.
I've been using KDE Connect for like ever. And I use it like daily. And it was working fine yesterday to send messages at the least to my from my phone to my computer. Today, I needed it to be able to control my computer, and I opened the app and it wouldn't connect and it just crashed. And so I completely deleted the app from my phone, reinstalled it, and was able to repair, like pair between my computer and my phone. But, right after the pairing, I go to the app and it crashes. And I went and looked, and I did see on Reddit that like two other people are having the same issue as of today, as of the most recent update. But there isn't enough information out there yet for me to actually know anything. So I was hoping one of you guys maybe had seen it too.
Yeah, I don't have any desire to send an SMS from my computer to my phone.
I just want the pop-up messages. That way I ain't got to open my phone. I can just glance over, read it real quick. And
I don't want that either.
But then sometimes, you know, my keyboard's not available, so my mouse isn't available, and I just pull out the phone, turn it on, and I got a touchpad and keyboard right there. Great when I'm on the exercise bike.
I had it on the Pixel, but I don't have it currently running on my new phone. I don't think I have it. Do I have it on here?
Let me double check. KDE. Oh, I do have KDE Connect.
Yeah, if you transferred everything over, then you might still have to pair it again. Like, mine worked to open it, worked to pair it, and after that, crash.
Let me see here. Now you're gonna make it. It crashed on the phone or on the phone desktop.
Still looked like it was working on the computer.
Well, you got you can do. Can't you do that with Chrome? I thought.
Do a Chrome remote desktop session.
Right.
And access screen. It's just since I have two monitors, it looks like shit. I can't see anything.
Hey, what's it called? What's the app? What's the app called then?
KDE Connect.
Where is it? I don't see it on my system. What the hell? How long ago did I? Oh, you know what? Maybe I put it on my. Maybe it was on my old system.
That's how long it's been.
It seems like it must be part of Manjaro's default, because I have it. I never used it.
Well, I'm not using KDE on this system. I'm not using
KDE either. So I don't get all of the functionality, but I get the functionality that I want.
So I'm trying to find it on here if I did have it, and I don't see it. Let me see. Well, carry on. I'll see if I can find it.
Oh, I uninstalled it from my phone for now. Hopefully they come out with a fix or an update, or I see something, and I'll try and reinstall it in a couple of days. But yeah, I also picked up a really low-cost Miracast device. You guys are familiar with Miracast?
No.
Yeah, well, wait. I mean, just doing a Miracast, or...
Mira.
Oh, Mira. No, I'm not. What's Miracast?
Well, it's essentially the exact same thing as Miracast, except it's specifically for an Android device to a wireless HDMI.
Okay.
Well, you can also do it with Apple devices. And I don't know. I think you can do it with Windows. But so it works really well with DeX on my phone. It's awesome, which is what I got it for. Because I'm a nerd. I also tried to get my Linux computer to do it, and I installed a couple of things to give it a try. One of them was Miracast, but it wouldn't actually detect the device. And then the other one was GNOME. It was either GNOME Remote Display or GNOME Network Display, which did see my device, but wouldn't actually run on my system because it's set up for Wayland. I'm not running Wayland. So, haven't found a workaround actually works on any of my systems to that Anycast device other than just using my Android phone.
Oh, wait, I just tried it, and it does the same thing on me. The app crashes on the phone.
Crashes.
So, yep, not useful.
Everything seems fine on the computer side, so...
Do you know when they released that build?
It had to be yesterday, either that or today. Like I said, it was working fine yesterday, or it was sending, you know, all my notifications to my computer yesterday, and then today, nothing.
Well, I'm trying to get it down. I pressed the wrong button. Now I'm downloading a whole bunch of shit. But give me a minute, and I'll try it myself. I suspect I might have the same results as you. I just need to get it on here to connect to something.
Pretty sure about the only thing I can do is wait for an update. I guess I could go to F-Droid and pick up an older copy.
If it's happening to you and happening to Joel, I'm surprised it's not a more ubiquitous problem.
Yeah, it might be. Like I said, when I looked it up, I'd only seen two other people that had complained about it today, saying the exact same thing, that it worked yesterday. It's grown since then. Not everybody's got the update yet.
Well, you have your phone set to auto update?
Yeah. I know. Bad etiquette. Or no. I actually did go in and have to hit update all. It was just a big long list of them that were getting updated, though. Not like I checked it. Could set it to auto update and it'd be the same thing.
Let me see, am I there yet?
Kitty Connect does take a little while to install.
I thought I was just going to do KDE Connect, but apparently it applied to a bunch of other stuff.
A lot of other stuff to make it work.
It did all my updates too, because I was trying to get it through the software center, and I didn't realize it was going to download all the other updates.
Linux, are you running, Joel?
Manjaro.
Dan, you're running Manjaro as well.
I am running Manjaro. I am.
Manjaro's fun.
Yes.
No complaints.
What makes Manjaro fun? What is that doing for you?
Well, it's easier to install
easy Arch.
Than plain Jane Arch. Although that's gotten pretty easy these days, too.
Don't be hating on the Manjaro, Murph. Come on.
There's a difference between hate and asking what's good about it. I did not say anything bad about it.
It's Arch. It gives you that Arch superiority while being a lot easier to install and maintain and use than a lot of your other Arches.
So you get the Arch superiority, as you just said, without the actual work.
Yes.
Sounds like That's a fraud to like. Me.
You know, I'm not going to argue with you, but you know, I run Mint, so...
The only thing I run Arch on right now is my Steam Deck, so.
Yeah, well, I do run Arch on my Steam Deck, but that's because that's what it came with. And I have to say that immutable system is kind of nice.
All right, so what do I have to do to get it to crash?
You open up the app on your phone, connect it, or you pair it to your PC, and then you try to do anything on your phone. KDE Connect.
Okay, so let me see. What should I do? Send a file?
Turn it into a mouse pad.
I just sent a picture to my computer. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't even get that far. Like, literally, after I paired, it said it wasn't connected anymore, and then I went back to the KDE Connect app, and it would crash.
Now, to be fair... Also, what version of KDE Connect are you running on your phone? Do you know?
I do not know. Are you running an older version on your phone?
Well, I'm running 1.32.2, and it doesn't... usually auto-updates everything, so let's see. Does it allow you to update from the app?
Settings.
App info. Version 1.32.4.
Oh, 0.4. Okay, so I guess I gotta.
Running what, 0.3 or something?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I'm on 0.2. So how do I get it to update? I guess I gotta go to this. Because it doesn't have like an updater on the actual app itself that I can find. Okay, let me go to the store.
Looking in F-Droid. Okay, if I were to uninstall it and then reinstall it, it looks like I might be able to get 1.31.1.
All right, Joel. Joel, thank you for breaking KDE Connect for me too, probably. So let's open it up.
I hope you appreciate that.
KDE Connect keeps stopping. Let's open it again. Yeah, there you go. Open it again. No, it just keeps crashing.
Broken. It's not like you were using it anyway.
Yeah, you're right. Let me see. Can I wait? I wish you could sort this stuff by the comments. Maybe there was something. What's new? Last update was September 28th. You know, it's interesting. The last update says what's new in the last update. Fix trusted devices list. I guess every device has been removed from that list, which is why it doesn't work, right?
Trust no one.
So why? Yeah, it just. That's the end of that. Well, easy come, easy go.
Life's a bitch. I can't find my mouse right this second. I would open KDE Connect, but...
Will KDE Connect tell you where your mouse is if you could open it?
No, but it can act as a mouse.
How does it act as a mouse for your computer?
Touchpad.
Is it got like a big touchpad on it? And you just move your fingers around and it goes around the computer?
It turns your screen into a touchpad.
Huh. That's pretty cool. I never used it that way. Now I want to use it, but I can't.
Touchpad, keyboard. Actually, you can just use it for multimedia control, so you can have it do pause and play on your YouTube videos or whatever you're watching at the time. Skip ahead type of stuff.
So there's, let me see. Is this you posted on Reddit?
I have not posted.
Yeah, people are posting on Reddit that keeps crashing on their phone.
When I looked earlier, there were literally only two people.
Wait, let me see something. Let's see. Settings. Where's the app? Apps. KDE Connect. Four star. That didn't work. Wait, damn it. Where did it go? Where did it go, Joe?
Oh, what'd you do with it?
Wait, what is this? Oh. Okay, where did KDE... Oh, I closed KDE Connect, didn't I? Annoying. Okay, let's see. Okay.
If I turn off Wi-Fi, make it so it can no longer see the device. On Wi-Fi, and it crashes.
Okay. Why do I get nothing? Oh, no. I cleared out everything in it. Now it's crashing again. Somebody suggested clearing out the cache and the app data and resetting it up. And you know, I just did that, and it came up. But then when it tried to connect, it crashed.
Keep in mind, for me, I didn't have KDE Connect installed at all on my phone until just a few minutes ago.
App data.
Yeah, so it's broken. It's all broken. Boo. Thanks, Joe.
Breaking something you don't use anyway?
Yeah.
Telling you how awesome it is and making you want to use it?
Yeah, I didn't want to use it until you told me I couldn't.
I'm sorry. When it's fixed, I'll let you know.
It's too late for that now. Now I gotta find my mumble. Where's my mumble?
Terrible for you. I actually use this damn tool.
Okay, we're still recording. Good. Good, good, good. Oh, my goodness. That's too bad. One of the things I thought was cool about it is you could always do that find your phone thing on it if you ever lose your phone. Click that button and it rings it for you.
Yeah, and or the send the ping or whatever.
Now my question is, I didn't look into this. If you have KDE Connect and you don't know where your phone is, but it's on silent or vibration, can you use KDE Connect to actually have it ring instead of?
I have a smartwatch. My smartwatch has the functionality to do that for me. Otherwise, I'm on Google, Google Android, and I can log into my account on Chrome and then have it do it for me. So I've never seen the need to test out that functionality on KDE Connect. believe the number of times my son has lost his phone and I've had to go log into his Google account and force it to ring.
All right, Kitty Connect. Where is...
Where is there a... Let's go. Where do they have their support?
Oh, on their site, they had...
Let's see. Oh, I wish they just... Oh. Okay, so yeah, they're saying go to F-Droid, search KD Connect, you can get the 132.2. I do believe that they
heard that.
That is still breaking?
No, it said it couldn't be found. I tried to force it to download the F-Droid version. I deleted the droid or the version from the Play Store. And then actually the version on F-Droid that it showed me was 1.3.1, not 2.
Okay, 132.5 should be released soon. It's already been delivered to, I guess, uploaded to the Play Store or whatever. I don't know when it's going to be ready, but 132.5 is going out. That's as of over 8 hours ago, so... The fix is on the way. When it's going to show up, who knows, Joe? Who knows?
Not me.
I tried to download it from F-Droid, and it says not findable.
That sucks.
But the new version will be out soon, like you said.
Just gotta wait. Probably another day. I wonder how long it takes when you upload an app to the store to be available.
Ad blocker that's off of Wi-Fi. Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's a failure for Android again. Wait, what version of Android are you running?
I'm on 14.
Well, I'm on 14 also.
Android version 14. One UI version 6.1.
Wait, which phone do you have? The one what?
Me?
Yeah, you.
I have the S24 Ultra.
Look at you. What is that? How do you like that?
The S24 Ultra? It's a really nice phone. Cannot complain about the S24 Ultra.
Who's Joel rocking over there?
Pixel 9 Pro XL.
Damn, man. You guys got the money.
Running the Apple 16 or whatever.
No, I don't want an iPhone.
I'm sporting a Pixel 6A, 2 years ago's budget phone.
Yep.
Yeah, remember, I upgraded from the Note 10 Plus.
Yes, which is really old.
That I got, you know, when it came out. So it's not like, you know, yes, I spend good money on a phone, but I keep it as long as I can. I'm not trying to upgrade every year.
Oh, neither do I. I'm every other. It's only because I use the heck out of mine.
Heck out of mine, too. For work, I use it for entertainment. So, fairly important piece of equipment for me.
But, it's a good thing it wasn't my work phone Monday because Verizon was down.
Yes, global outage.
Pretty much.
A couple of coworkers impacted by that.
So I got a question about that. So I'm on Verizon, and I have Verizon Fios here at the house. Not so much as a glitch. I don't understand it.
Cellular network that was impacted? Fiber network?
But I also have a Verizon phone, and that didn't give me any problems either.
Well, you're in Jersey, so maybe
that's
why.
Set up over Wi-Fi?
My Wi-Fi would have come from Fios, so and, yeah. And when I was out and about, my phone was working fine.
I don't know. It was supposed to be a global outage. Everybody I talked to that was on Verizon didn't have shit.
Yeah, it didn't. Wi-Fi calling didn't even work.
New Jersey is its own globe, apparently.
I guess. Well, some people were like kind of clueless that, hey, a hurricane hit the middle part of the country.
Yeah, so, but I was talking to a guy that formerly worked at Verizon, and he was like, that really shouldn't have impacted it.
Well, one should hope.
Sense that it wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, mine it worked Monday morning, but then like when Luke went to go DoorDash at about noon, he discovered it wasn't working because he couldn't log in the DoorDash when he was out off the Wi-Fi.
Didn't teach him how to cook?
No, he's bringing food to people.
That's right.
I cooked this evening. I had chili.
What'd you cook?
Good too. Chili.
I made a stir fry today.
Tomorrow I will probably be ordering it, just because I like to eat before I go work out. And they usually are bowling by the time I get off. I like schedule the food to be here at about 4:45-ish. That way I have it at least a half hour before I have to leave to go to the boot camp. Let's it digest a little bit. It's also my excuse for getting like a veggie sub. Or what I've been doing lately is Jersey Mike's has a portobello mushroom sub. And it's delicious. No meat on it, just the mushrooms.
You got mushroom stamped at Jersey Mike's, huh?
Yeah. It's better than drinking that abomination that's called mud water.
Wait, how much?
Which is a coffee that's made out of mushrooms. That's not coffee.
Let me go to their website. Let's see. Menu. I like Jersey Mike's. I
do too.
Where is their? Oh, hot subs. I never thought about trying their portobello mushrooms.
Yeah, portobello mushroom Swiss.
That looks good. I love portobello mushrooms too.
It is good. You can get the mushrooms added to like the cheesesteak or the chicken.
There you go. Now that's a sandwich right there. You gotta
yeah,
have
you got meat
on
it.
Steak. Right, Murph? You got to have your mushrooms on the steak.
Not if you're from Philly.
Not Why a big not? Mushroom guy. Sorry.
Get out of here, Murph. What's wrong with you, man? Because you know
what's
like
wrong with me? How much time you got? The show's over in 10 minutes. You don't have enough time.
Love mushrooms.
What are you talking about? The show's over in 2 minutes.
Still not enough time.
Oh. Now I want a portobello mushroom steak, Joel.
There you go. DoorDash it.
Tell you what I don't want. I don't want a Wawa pizza, man. That thing gives me the shits. And the farts.
Well, you eat a lot of rice and beans still, though, too, right?
I had beans for dinner tonight. I made a pinto bean dip, which was just pintos with I made some taco seasoning and onions in it.
I had sunny-side-up eggs for breakfast this morning.
With beans?
No, just with some toast. And I did not have
peppers
any caffeine,
onions?
No caffeine all day today.
Sorry for you.
Yeah.
Is that purposeful?
Yeah. Caffeine fast for my church. I'm ready for bed.
You're ready for what? Bed?
Yeah. Actually, I got like what about 500 steps to go. Yeah, I got my step goal for the last almost 2 weeks now.
What's your goal?
10,000.
Oh man, you must crush that, don't you?
Pretty much. I mean, it's over half over before I even start work usually. Although it's been too dark to go on trail, so I'm doing that on treadmill now.
Yeah, leave like take a long lunch, go for a trail walk, come back 3 hours later.
Well, I can't do that.
Work will respect you for that.
No, they'll let me go for a walk, but not that long.
Yeah, Joel, you can do it. Maybe just once, but you can do it.
True. Especially now, next week's going to be pain because I'm on call. I got my sleep study Thursday. At least Thursday I should have the evening covered for me. I had to sleep study, and I said, well, I better have somebody cover that for me, so that, because I don't want to be like at the sleep study and I get a page that wants to keep me up till 9 o'clock at night or longer. It's been relatively quiet, although we had this weird problem with one of our client servers, a bunch of our scripts were just sitting out there doing nothing. And one of the scripts, it's one of those scripts that submits every 5 minutes. So there's like 100 of them. Had to do some quick thinking to kill all those processes. He used an aux script to do it. Kill and then put in parens docs the script the where we did the PS command and paired out the column 2, which is where the PID is on our system. And that killed them all in one fell swoop.
Wait, what'd you kill?
Just a bunch of scripts that were hanging for some reason.
Then you just restart the system, right? Kill everything.
Well, they're going to do that tonight. I was trying to get it so that they could use the system, because the problem is that you user that's trying to run it, I think they have too many processes open, and maybe our platform team did not have things set up correctly. I don't know, but they're going to reboot the server, which should clean up all the processes, and hopefully that fixes the issue for them.
Good luck.
Hopefully.
You can be able to stay up for that?
I don't have to do it.
Well, that's good. Speaking of that, we got to close this show out.
Yes, we do.
It's bedtime. All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Murph.
Pray for Western North Carolina and Dave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, folks.
And we'll hopefully have a good week, and we'll see you in 7. Here are your promo. Yep.
I am short.
Oh, my God. It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to stop this recording.
Interesting? Not this, right?
No, it isn't. Come on, Murph. It's interesting. Come on. Why be like that? What we found interesting is every the summers when we go to Brigantine, there are two grocery stores that are – there's one in Abseken. It's a ShopRite. And then on Brigantine, there is a grocery store. And I don't – maybe it's a Shop. Maybe it's an Acme. I'm not sure which one it is. Maybe it's an IGA, actually. I don't know. But both of those have – all the grocery stores that we've been in Jersey in the past, like, decade, they all have something in common that's completely different than down here. And that is their aisles are a lot narrower compared to the grocery stores down here. And maybe that's because of the soul food fattening people up, so they need a lot more space down here, the southern eating. But yeah, there's a little very narrow compared to.
Well, real estate's cheaper out there. They can make the store bigger.
Maybe that's it. What do I know? They also seem to have, like, and maybe that's because of the stores that we were in. They were closer to Atlantic City or whatever. They seem to have a lot more variety, like a lot more variety than what we have in some of the places down here.
Well, more competition. Sometimes you need different stuff. You know, that's...
The exception I would probably say is like Wegmans. Like the Wegmans down here and the Wegmans, like the different Wegmans I've been to, they all seem to kind of have roughly the same stuff. There's not much of a difference in what I could get from the Wegmans in Virginia Beach compared to the Wegmans in Richmond, compared to the Wegmans in Charlottesville, compared to the Wegmans that I remember being back in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
I don't do that much in Wegmans. We've got one in Whippany now. It's a little bit newer. That's the only one I know of in the area. I think there's some in New York. But I don't spend a lot of time in there. And I haven't been in any other ones, so I can't really compare that.
I love Wegmans. We used to, before the pandemic, we used to go to Wegmans like every other Sunday,
and like go down there, do some shopping, and indulge ourselves in their cafe for lunch. Then a lot of that stuff closed and they didn't reopen in a lot of the stores. Like on occasion we used to go to Whole Foods to their little cafe that they had there, the bar and stuff, because they always had like great local beers on tap and get like oysters on the half shell at a good price. A dozen oysters. It was nice, but then that closed too with the pandemic, and they never reopened it. Now it's just like an Amazon distribution thing where the cafe used to be. And everything's like 10 times more expensive at Whole Foods anyway.
Yeah, Whole Foods is expensive. Went there, got a salad. It was like $22.
For $22, you could buy yourself a steak and all the things to make a salad.
Not in Whole Foods, you can't.
Well, no. I mean, like at any other store.
Yeah, salad bar's got a lot of good stuff, but
yeah, it's pricey. Oh, quick. That. Yeah, yeah, that. Mm. Money out the window. Where the hell is Joel? Where's Joe? I don't think Dave's going to be on. Dave, last that I heard, he's still without power.
Oh, wow. He's out, huh?
Yeah, the hurricane came through there and knocked his power out. But everybody, his whole family is okay. They're safe. It's just not... No power.
That's good. Everybody's okay.
Testing, yeah. Testing. 1, 2, 3.
You didn't get impacted by the hurricane at all, did you, Joe?
Hell no.
I didn't think so.
Hey, Murph, how'd that soldering go?
I have not revisited that. I'll get to it when I get to it.
Yes, sir.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, I guess the hurricane killed Joel or something, too.
Did you turn on your vibrator or something?
No, I was turning it off, Joe, since you got
here. Oh, okay. Okay, okay.
No, that's my dryer. All right, let's cue up this intro. Oh, man, I'm suddenly tired. It's still hot there, Texas?
Well, let me look. Looks to be almost 100 degrees and 65% humidity. So it's a touch warm.
That's some dank humidity at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on, you still got another 15% at least to go before you start feeling it, right?
No, I feel it. Oh, did you guys watch the debate yesterday?
I did.
As did I.
You know, I'll say this. Vance is a great talker. Very charismatic.
He lies very quickly.
Yeah, and deflects. He deflects just as much as he lies, if not more.
You know, I was impressed by Vance's oratorical skills. Not by his message, but just the way he
presented it. Yes, exactly.
Conveyed his message. Because the other stuff that I've seen with him on the campaign trail has been just like this bubbling doofus. So...
I think this is more similar to what he's used to, considering that, you know, he's a lawyer. So he might have felt right at home there.
I can see that.
Yeah, got very upset when anyone pushed back at him, though. Ooh.
Or tried to make him answer a question. after the first time he deflected?
Yeah. Yeah, he the whole denying the election thing. That's
a killer right there.
That's not good, but it's not. People said, "Oh, he did very well. He won the." So apparently, if you lie and do it confidently and gracefully, that makes you a winner around here.
That's what some people are saying, but I mean, seriously, both of them had issues answering questions.
Yeah, Walz, when they asked about his thing in Tiananmen Square, I immediately said, he's not answering the question. Now, when they reiterated it, he immediately, you know...
Clarified what he said.
And apologized for it, said it was a mistake. Okay, should have led with that. And then you had another 2 minutes to say whatever you want. So it looked evasive, but he at least swung around to it. Vance was unflappable. He would just not answer what he wasn't answering.
Right. And,
you know, deflecting on, and just, you know, when you get up on and you say, I will lie to draw attention to stuff, and he has absolutely no regard of who he hurts with those lies, how that doesn't disqualify a person immediately really kind of blows my mind, regardless of what side of the aisle you are.
Well, no. What got me that nobody else seems to be talking about is when he was doing that whole deflection on the election, the 2020 election thing, his first statement, the first words out of his mouth were, I'm looking towards the future, or we're looking towards the future. And then the next words out of his mouth were, Kamala in 2020 did such and such. Isn't that the exact same time frame that you're not talking about?
Yeah. Well, it's reality has no place there with either of the two of them.
They want to take America back to a better time. So that means going back in time and then looking towards the future, which is the past for us right now.
Look, this whole time paradox shit's starting to give me a headache already, so...
Yeah, they want to go back to the 50s, the 1850s.
I drive my wife nuts with this. It's like, I'm like, how the fuck can this be so neck and neck? You know what I mean?
How can it be so 50-50? I talk to people that think Trump will do better than Kamala because Kamala flip-flopped on such and such. You know, there's a big difference between flip-flopping and then changing your mind based on new ideas. Or, you know, if you're an elected official, changing your mind to match that of your constituency of what they told you that they wanted in a majority.
Yeah, she
because
changed.
You're there to represent them. Oh, I'm
yeah,
sorry,
she
go
changed
ahead.
On an issue since 2016 as flip-flopper. It's like insane. It baffles me.
If people aren't allowed to change based on new information, then we're in trouble.
And then Trump comes out and says one thing and then turns around and contradicts himself in the next sentence, and they're like, he's brilliant.
Right?
Brilliant.
They're eating the dogs.
Yeah, they can just make stuff up and it's fine as long as you do it quickly and you're not allowed to have fact checkers because that's bad, apparently.
Well, so you weren't supposed to fact check me, so let me put this correction out here that's completely bullshit and wrong.
I hope it's less close than they're saying.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I hope they're stuck polling people that are like 80 or 90 that actually answer the phone, landline.
People that have a landline and will answer it. Yeah, I think that's largely the demographic you're looking at.
And none of those people actually go out to vote. That's what I'm hoping.
And that's
not true, though. Senior citizens vote in droves. They got nothing else to do.
One of the things that I had heard, because I watched Bo of the Fifth Column.
I watch him, too. He's well, his wife right now is awesome.
Yeah, his wife. And one of the things right before he left, he had said about the polling is that there were serious problems with the census data that was collected back in the last time the census was collected, which is what the polling is kind of based off, that census data. So the polling in itself may not be completely accurate because the census data is not completely accurate. The specifics of that I am not completely clear on, but he broke it down a bit. And it was just food for thought, but yeah. I don't know who the fuck they're polling, man.
I don't know. Here in the New York area, I remember back in the 70s, early 80s, my dad used to work construction in the city. He'd say, if you can get work with Trump, it's great, but get paid up front, preferably in cash, because you'll finish the job and he won't pay. And how anybody in this area votes for him, it just baffles me.
Dude, I don't know either, man. From what I remember back in the 90s, 80s, 90s, he was a shitbag. Nobody liked him.
Oh, he's such a great businessman, except he's never made a dollar. You can tell by how he's never paid a tax.
It's pre-show politics.
Yeah. You know what blows my mind is the more I think about this is like, and it's not just him, it's like all these billionaires, right? When I think about like the money that these billionaires have, I'm like, it's insane the amount of money. Like just even having $100 million is an insane amount of money. Like, I will never see anything close to that. If I had $100 million, that would probably set my family up for like a couple generations.
Right. Or the money that they make while they're in office, while they're not doing anything other than being politicians. That's kind of nuts to me.
Yeah, and they're not paying taxes on it like we pay. You know, they reap the benefits of society and don't chip in their fair share.
Oh, it's insane, man. It's insane. Woo! So I was watching. We went and saw about the James Webb telescope. Telescope that they put up there, the James Webb. And they were like, I think it cost like $5 billion or $10 billion. And I'm like, that's like chump change to some of these billionaires. Like, and they're like, oh, we're so lucky that we were able to get this through and do all this stuff. I'm like, why can't we be funneling more money to stuff like that, man?
Okay, Elon.
Like.
Well, Elon is.
I mean, you can't really say he's not. For the fact that he does that, he gets an awful lot of government money for a guy who doesn't like the government or want to pay his taxes.
I'm not surprised. You know, everybody was talking about how, you know, it's so great that his Starlink got turned on over the areas that were affected by the hurricane. But yeah, I'm sure the government's paying him a crap ton of money for that.
No, yeah, I would. Yeah. I mean, I don't like I don't want it privatized. I'm just like, maybe we could contribute.
Well, he's kind of privatizing going to Mars, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, I don't want it privatized.
No, he's privatizing the research, but he's doing it with public money. He's not privatizing it. He's doing it with big government contracts. He's a master at that.
That's kind of cool.
No, ripping us off is not that cool.
Well, no, it's still kind of cool that he's going to go to Mars.
Or let him
send
go.
Someone else to Mars.
They just send him. It's a one-way trip. He ain't coming back.
Anybody that goes to Mars, it's 95% a one-way trip.
Yeah, and we can't, it's a struggle to keep people alive in Antarctica. The odds of us having a permanent colony on Mars anytime soon is slim to none. There's no atmosphere. There's no protection from radiation. It's not hospitable.
Why aren't they doing a test run on the moon?
Because it's not big enough.
But it's even less hospitable than Mars. Less of an atmosphere. Less gravity.
Yeah, but it's close. So, you know, you could just take one of Elon's robo-taxis there and back.
Yeah, but if you're able to maintain a colony there, then you could obviously maintain a colony on Mars. Plus, I've from my understanding, if they could actually start like building rockets on the moon, then you don't have to worry about all the fuel costs to launch something from ground to space. That's heavy enough, or carrying enough stuff to then go to Mars.
Yeah, escape velocity from the moon is easier, but building stuff there is non-trivial.
I'm sure. But it still seems like a better test run than trying it on Mars when, you know, there is no rescue.
Yeah, a moon base would be a better idea. Weren't we supposed to get that in 1999? Wasn't that to be a thing?
You know, before it gets too far away, have you ever seen pictures of Antarctica under the ice?
No.
The maps, it's really neat what they've been able to map so far under the ice. It's amazing.
I bet it is. Mostly ice caves, I would assume. Maybe some flowing water?
No, the land under there. They've mapped land that's under there. It's like, it's just a huge continent with a lot of
ranges underneath the ice.
Yeah, it's an amazing, like, if you see what it looks like underneath the ice, it's just, it's neat. Just the maps of it. It impressed me very much. What else impressed me was the size of the Hudson Bay. Like, I never really appreciated how big the Hudson Bay is. I think it's huge. Not that anybody cares anymore. Right, Murph?
Yes, Dan. The Hudson Bay is very large.
It is awesome. There's a lot of stuff on this planet. Like, yeah, you're right. Antarctica, man, that might as well be the moon. It's just so unreachable. Very difficult to get to. What is that? What is the strait down there that you go through? Is it the Straits of Gibraltar? Is that what that's down there between was it Argentina and Antarctica? What is that strait?
I don't know. I have a very American grasp of geography.
Antarctica. What is that? The Drake Passage. That's it. The Drake Passage, where that whole area down there is just this, like, the wind just whips around the entire planet, like, down there. It just keeps going and going because there's nothing to stop it, and it's just, like, insane to travel that to get to Antarctica is, like, so freaking dangerous to get down there. That's, like, the best place to go. It's crazy, man. Drake Passage. That is something. Anyway, we should probably start the show. Let's do it. Whoa, wait. What episode is this? Oh, it's 170. 170. Ready, Joe? Ray Murph, here we go.
It's probably 1070.
Yeah, 1070. You're right.